I'd like to begin by acknowledging the sponsors of this work, primarily the USAID mission in Bangladesh and more recently FAO. So arsenic contamination of soil in Bangladesh, this is a map of arsenic in this area here. You see the concentration is less than 5 parts per million. That would be background level for most soils around the world, in fact, and certainly here in Bangladesh. But you can also see in the reds and the deeper colors, the higher the concentration of arsenic. You can see a concentration in the southwest part of the country, with values in this district here, Faridpur, exceeding 20 parts per million, sometimes up to 60, 70 parts per million in the soil. Now, this, how does this arsenic get here? Basically, it originates in the Himalayas as arsenic sulfur minerals. These are oxidized to release the arsenate and arsenite species, which in turn are absorbed on hydrous oxides, predominantly of iron. They're transported through river systems then and deposited in this delta region here. So it's a natural contamination resulting from sedimentation in the Bengal Basin. So that's how that happens. And this area that is contaminated is essentially the River Ganges floodplain. There's another major river, the Brahmaputra, that sort of comes in down here, but it's not bringing in arsenic, at least to the current surface soils. Now, in addition to the background concentration and that natural contamination, tube wells also bring up arsenic from groundwater. And this is a map showing arsenic in groundwater in Bangladesh. You may have heard a lot about this in relation to drinking water and health associated problems. And you can see then that, again, there's high arsenic in the southern part of Bangladesh. The map is a little different, however, than the soils map. So this water is interesting. This is its general chemistry. The key parts about this are that it's anoxic. It has a high iron content in general, some manganese, fair amount of phosphate, and also arsenic. The actual levels vary tremendously of all of these components, as do the ratios. But what happens is, as this water comes out of a shallow tube well pump, it begins to oxidize, and iron is precipitated as oxyhydroxide that absorbs phosphate and arsenic. So you begin to deposit this material onto the soil, and that's how you add arsenic to the soil. So this is a picture then of a tube well. You can see that it's being aerated quite a lot as the water comes out. It's fairly fierce. If you try and measure a redox potential in that, it's tough. You can see the it's oxidizing. You see the iron coatings on the concrete. Its redox here a few meters from that source was minus 50 millivolts, so it's still pretty well reduced. And as it flows through earthen channels and across, well, in earthen channels here, you can see also iron oxide precipitating, and it then is flowing into fields and across fields and depositing the iron hydroxides and the associated arsenic not uniformly across the command area of a single tube well. So what is actually happening is this: we create a lot of spatial variability in arsenic and also iron and also phosphate across command areas of single tube wells in Bangladesh. And this is a map of a couple. I didn't put the scale on it. The red is the high value. Then it goes to yellow, green, and blue, getting progressively lower. And you can see these spatial patterns somewhat associated with the pattern of water movement across the command area. So we create gradients of arsenic. So that's sort of background in terms of the arsenic contamination. So what now are the issues with this? The first issue is the possibility that arsenic is toxic to rice and will lower yields. And the second is really about food safety, and that is associated with high arsenic in rice straw and also rice grain. So we studied one area that was high in arsenic. This area in Faridpur was in that high arsenic area in Bangladesh. And we studied across an arsenic gradient that is depicted there, here from about 11 to about almost 70 parts per million. And we grew Biridon 29 across this arsenic gradient in the winter season. We looked at pore water arsenic, extracting soil solution from the soil and measuring its arsenic content. And initially, it's fairly low. As the soil gets more reduced, the arsenic level begins to increase, and you can see that it fits the pattern of the soil arsenic, that as the as we get higher levels of arsenic in soil solution with the high levels in the soil. And at this point in here, we have clear toxicity to rice. This is growth not too far along in the season at the 11 milligram per kilogram concentration. This is the growth of the high arsenic concentration, a much more open canopy and a lot of duckweed actually growing there. This was the effect on yield. So the yield was reduced from, this is paddy rice or rough rice, not husked, grain yield of about 7 tons dropping down to a little above 2 tons per hectare. And actually a linear decrease more or less across that gradient. That was the field data. This is actually also showing you plants grown in pots containing the surface soil across that gradient, just to show you the actual yield decline rather dramatically. Well, so this is a problem then potentially for farmers, because half of the rice in Bangladesh is grown in this winter season using groundwater for irrigation. Not all the groundwater is contaminated, but obviously some of it is, and some of the soil is also contaminated to begin with. So this is a potential problem. So what sort of management options do we have? Not so many. Definitely alternative crops are a possibility for some areas, particularly maize or wheat. Maize right now is pretty high, well, both maize and wheat are fairly high value in Bangladesh, but maize particularly because of the poultry industry. The possibility of using surface water or deep groundwater that has lower levels or hopefully very little arsenic in it, that's a possibility, but there's maybe some complications there too in terms of availability and access and so on. And one thing that we have looked at is actually growing rice in a more aerobic environment where the iron is not reduced. So the iron would be oxidized and the arsenic and the phosphate would be sorbed on the iron and would be much, much less available to plants. And of course that's why maize and wheat are good alternative crops, because they're growing in an aerobic environment. This is a photograph showing you the rice on beds versus the conventional flooded paddy, and this is actually the gradient going from high in the foreground to low in the background. So we just did this one season so far. We can improve probably upon what we achieved in this season, but this is what we achieved, that the raised bed system definitely reduced the impact of arsenic toxicity on rice and was very effective up to about 30 parts per million or so in the soil, but not completely reversing that yield decline at the high arsenic levels. This was the impact on the concentration of arsenic in the straw on the left and the grain on the right. You can see that in fact the effect is very large. Here the range is, with the beds, the straws around 1 ppm to about 4 versus about 7 to 12. So we're talking a pretty substantial reduction in arsenic in the straw. This is important because straw is used predominantly as an animal feed, and that introduces arsenic into animal products and also into manure, and it gets through into the food chain in other ways. So we definitely want to have low arsenic in straw. The grain is not quite so dramatic, and what you see with the raised beds, that the arsenic in the grain is relatively uniform across the arsenic gradient. But it actually decreases across that gradient where we have arsenic toxicity. And it's clear then that as we have toxicity, we begin to interfere with translocation of arsenic to the grain. And so actually reducing arsenic in the grain is a little more complicated than reducing arsenic in the straw. So there's still an issue that these levels of arsenic in rice may be high enough to still be of a concern for human health. So we still have some way to go with that. Thank you. That's all I have to say. Well, I didn't explain how the arsenic gets into the aquifer. I explained how really the arsenic is in the surface soil. But of course that has happened, that process for the surface soil has happened over millennia as the sediments have built up. So there is arsenic in the subsurface layers too. And there is also enough demand for oxygen in that subsurface that the system gets completely reduced. And then that dissolves iron and releases the arsenic and also and phosphate and so on. And actually that situation is pretty typical of all of the deltas in Asia. And almost all of them have arsenic also. It's just that the Bengal Delta with West Bengal and Bangladesh, that's the only delta system where we really use a lot of groundwater for irrigation. The other, like in Vietnam, for example, there's high arsenic, but it's not, the groundwater is not really used. They use surface water there.